DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia has a chance to go stargazing a bit on Saturday. The five-star variety, maybe. Hey, y'all, welcome into a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Of course, my name is Brandon Adams, and I am eager to see what happens tomorrow when a five-star wide receiver, former five-star wide receiver, Demetrius Robertson, makes his college decision between Alabama and Georgia and West Virginia and Texas. We now know a few more details ahead of this. I liked what Andrew Astleford called this on his Good Day UGA piece at DogNation.com on Friday morning. D-Rob Day. We now know a little bit more about D-Rob Day and exactly what's going to go down here. And I'm going to make my case here over the next couple of minutes once again why I think this is the kind of thing that Georgia fans ought to be paying close attention to. Yes, I know some of you are sort of over all of this. The extra drama of a commitment video for a transfer, some of you don't like. I've heard from you on that. Some of you are a little bit, bothered by the way that this went down in 2016, a couple months after National Signing Day. I thought that Terrence Edwards did a great job on the show earlier this week saying that this is a player that's potentially worth the wait, and the kind of player that we should all forgive for a little bit of drama because, after all, if he were to come to Georgia, there's a lot to like about what he brings to the table there. And chiming in media is, I guess, the group here that's going to be doing the commitment video for Robertson that we'll all see tomorrow. And they put out on Twitter a little detail here that lets us know exactly when that's going to take place. Chiming in media, and if you're watching, I'll show you the tweet here. They say, update, the Demetrius Robertson transfer decision will be posted via video on the Chiming In YouTube channel starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. So that's the time to know, 1 p.m. Eastern time. That's when Demetrius Robertson is going to be showing the video, and we'll all get a chance to see what his college decision is. After all, I did say the finalists here, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, West Virginia, and apparently the video is in the can. Apparently it has been published and produced here. D-Rob himself on his Instagram feed put out a photo of him with the guys from Chiming In there. They're all cheesing together and hugged up. You see them posing there in Savannah, Georgia, apparently. That is Demetrius Robertson's hometown. D-Rob writes, I appreciate my boys for coming down. Make sure you chime in media next week. Something special coming soon. So that's Demetrius Robertson sort of showing off with those guys there after, I guess, the video has been posted. A lot of people wondering exactly what this group is that's doing this commitment video for the former five-star wide receiver. If you go to their YouTube page, the place where the video is going to pop up, admittedly, there is a lot of Alabama paraphernalia here. They have a video. It sort of comes across like the worst Bama bros you've ever seen. I hate to admit that, but that's sort of the way that it sort of comes across here. And some Georgia fans have been a little bit concerned about all of that, saying, well, if Alabama fans are doing the commitment video, does that mean that he's going to Alabama? In this case, I don't think they're that really matters all that much. I mean, after all, there was this weird thing earlier this week where apparently these same guys had a video with Andrew Thomas. I was told about this. I didn't see it. It's apparently been deleted from the internet, where they were with Thomas on campus at in his dorm there in Athens. This has been deleted, but some people had told me about that from earlier in the week. So these aren't, such strong bonds to Alabama for the video producers here that those are the only kind of videos they produce. They produced a LSU commitment video not too long ago. I mentioned the Andrew Thomas video that's now, I guess, been, for whatever reason, taken down off the internet here. So I don't know that the Alabama fandom that these guys might have is necessarily proof of anything. The weird thing here is, when you look at all of this, it's sort of hard to find really any chatter about anything other than, kind of what's going down here with Georgia. I mean, speaking of Alabama, I mentioned the fact that I don't think that he's necessarily going to Alabama, and part of the reason why I feel that strongly about that and sort of believe that way is because a guy who knows the situation in Alabama pretty well, my buddy Mike Johnson, yesterday afternoon on SEC Country Live, when I asked him if he had a prediction about what Demetrius Roberts was going to do, he was very clear, made no bones about it, that he thinks D-Rob's choosing UGA. Here is what Mike Johnson said about that yesterday.
I'll be floored if it's not Georgia. I mean, I will be absolutely floored. And it's just, that just comes from the people I've talked to, the people that follow recruiting, the people that obviously know this kid, the fact that he's from Georgia, the perceived, I don't want to call it weak link at Georgia, but the one position group that does need upgrading. I have to think that Kirby Smart's absolutely going 100% at this. You know, this is something that obviously they recruited him very hard the first time around. I think he's saying, listen, I've got a do-over at this. Georgia's even better this time around than they were the first time they recruited me. I'm not going to mess this up. This is right down the road. I'll be floored if it's not Georgia.
I don't want to put words in Mike Johnson's mouth here, but it is important to point out that Mike's not a recruiting reporter. And you may say, well, that means we shouldn't take his opinion for being worth very much here. But I work with Mike every single day. We talk a lot about recruits and where they might go, and Mike does not speak emphatically a lot about a lot of potential commitment decisions unless he seems to know something. In this particular case here, you hear Mike Johnson say, based on the people that I've talked to, he will be floored if Demetrius Robertson doesn't come to Georgia. I'm not telling you that's the gospel truth that you ought to take to the bank and say, MJ called it, therefore D-Rob's coming to UGA. That's not what I'm saying. But yesterday, doing the show with Mike Johnson, sitting in the studio with him when he said that, my eyebrows did sort of perk up a bit, and I did sort of, you know, turn and look at him a bit more, because that's a more emphatic opinion than a non-recruiting reporter would typically express, unless he had heard something somewhere that made him feel confident enough to be as bold as he was when he said that. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon if Mike's prediction is right and D-Rob truly does choose Georgia, but that's, you know, the nature of that strong prediction I found to be interesting. And I guess also part of what sort of leads Mike to make the call that he made yesterday was that you can see the obvious tie towards Georgia, the fact that Georgia was a finalist before. He's from Savannah. That's an in-state choice to choose UGA, coming back closer to home here. And as Mike Johnson also explained, there really is no obvious tie, seemingly, back to Alabama. Here's a little more from Mike Johnson on that.
I think Alabama, listen, they've got good recruiters. I think that you're going to have a shot at a lot of kids like this because they look at Alabama, the reigning national champions, the Nick Saban dynasty, and they say, boy, that'd be cool to be a part of. But in the end, you have to make a decision that's best for you. You have to make a decision that really works for your family. And I'm having trouble, other than the prestige of playing football at Alabama right now, I'm having trouble with any perception of saying this is why he'd go there.
So that's really interesting. Mike says, other than the fact that Alabama is obviously a prestigious school, they're the reigning national champion, there's no other obvious reason to sort of move him in the direction of the Crimson Tide. And as I sort of alluded to earlier, it's sort of weird how that seems to be true for a lot of the schools seemingly in contention for Demetrius Robertson services. If it's true for Alabama, it's especially true for Texas. I mean, I really had no idea to begin with why Texas would even be a finalist here on this. In fact, I went to, and this is a little bit of inside baseball, but I'll explain it nonetheless. The company that owns Dog Nation also owns the Austin American Statesman, the news source out there in Austin, Texas, and they have a site called Hook'em.com, which is similar to what Dog Nation does here for Georgia. So I went to Hook'em.com to sort of see what they had been saying about Demetrius Robertson. Unless I just searched incorrectly or unless I just sort of missed the wrong stuff, I couldn't find one example where Demetrius Robertson's name had even shown up on the Texas site at all in the last few days. So based on that, I don't think the Texas folks think they're even in the running here, because their recruiting reporter, and it's a site that you can go and just sort of click on and read, their recruiting reporter didn't mention anything about Demetrius Robertson here. So apparently Texas doesn't think it's in the mix here either. You see a guy with close ties to Alabama saying, not really sure why my school would be in the mix here. West Virginia seems to be the most obvious potential competitor here for Georgia, given the fact that Jake Spavadal, the offensive coordinator at West Virginia now, was once at Cal. There's a relationship between D-Rob and Spavadal that maybe is worth taking seriously here. But, you know, I went to a West Virginia message board this morning trying to find out what they're saying. And honestly, there's just not a lot of chatter from the West Virginia folks about D-Rob either. Now, it's also probably because West Virginia, message board posters may not be quite as rabid as some of the UGA guys and gals are. But nonetheless, there's just a lot more talk seemingly about Georgia than the other schools. And I want to be careful about my prediction here, because honestly, my predictions are wrong more often than not. But the bottom line for me is that it's sort of hard to see a reason why Demetrius Robertson is going to choose anything but Georgia on Saturday afternoon. And I think for Georgia fans, I think this is good news. If D-Rob does come to Georgia, I think this is a guy you welcome with open arms, likely eligible for the 2019 season, bringing Georgia another player at a position that it can really, really use some big-time talent at. Wide receiver, it's sort of exciting to see what Georgia might look like if you could add a guy like this in the mix. It's also, I guess, worth pointing out here that Demetrius Robertson's recruitment has been unpredictable before. Maybe an unpredictable decision gets made on Saturday. But for now, this seems to be moving in a positive direction for UGA. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Thanks so much for being with us on the program today. Whether you watch us live at 10 a.m. every single day on the Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, the Dog Nation Twitter feed, we're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. I had a good time this morning checking in with the morning show there on 960 The Ref. My buddy David Johnston and Sam Franco, two really good friends, and a good chance to chat with them about some UGA stuff. If you're anywhere near Athens, you can listen to 960 The Ref every single day. They talk a lot of Georgia football there, which obviously makes it something that I really enjoy. And of course, if you like Dog Nation Daily, we appreciate you listening to our podcast. We post that for you, and we try to make it as accessible as possible. It's sort of the on-demand way to listen to our program. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We got all the various devices taken care of. We also post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. I appreciate those of you that simply just click through the site there and take a look and listen to the show each and every day. It's really good to have you with us, and it's great to have Marco's Pizza with us as well. Say hello Primo right now with a great offer from Marco's. You can get two medium, two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. That is an awesome deal on true authentic Italian quality pizza, made every store every day the Italian way. And I was telling you yesterday, my favorite thing about, you know, the two medium, two topping pizza deal is that you don't want to go same toppings on both pizzas. Now you can, they're not going to prohibit you from doing that. What you really want to do is kind of get one pizza with a couple toppings and one pizza with a couple toppings. You can either satisfy sort of a picky family like mine, and I'm just as picky as anybody, or you can kind of sort of go off both of the pizzas and get a little bit of a variety in your life there. Either way, it's a great way to say hello Primo this summer with our friends at Marco's Pizza. Go to marcos.com. You can find out more information about that. Jeff Sintel still finishing up his vacation today. He'll be back with us next week, and obviously we'll talk a lot about whatever happens with Demetrius Robertson with him when he joins us on Tuesday. But I was thinking about Jeff this morning because if you go back really a few days ago, more than a week ago now, when Jeff was sort of getting ready to head out to Frisco, Texas for the opening, the big recruiting event that takes place every summer. It used to be in Oregon. It's in Texas now. Jeff really set the stage for why that was going to be an interesting event for UGA recruiting observers. And a lot of it centered around Nolan Smith and a big goal and a big objective that Nolan Smith had a chance to accomplish. Here is Jeff Sintel setting the stage for something that actually worked out just as Jeff predicted that it might.
You're going to see whether or not Nolan Smith, the five-star outside linebacker, the oldest, the longest tenure Georgia commitment, he's going to try and make a push for the nation's number one overall prospect. Now, he's already number two on the composite, but it's really kind of going to be an apples-to-apples comparison because in a lot of cases, the guy that's rated higher than them is Kayvon Thibodeau, another outside linebacker type who will be at the opening. And it's simply going to be a case of which guy will be more dominant at the opening against those elite offensive tackles across those 2 or 3 days out in Texas.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm thrilled for Nolan Smith here to get this honor while he holds on to it. I'm also a bit cynical when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I have great respect for the people who do the recruiting stuff for a living, whether it be evaluating prospects or ranking or reporting the news. That's a really hard job. But there's also this element of we all know that if Nolan Smith, rock-solid UGA commitment, Kayvon Thibodeau right now from California, uncommitted prospect, considering Alabama. Stuff like that has a way of working out where maybe one day Thibodeau rises back to that number one ranking again. These rankings just sort of seem to favor towards the end of the process uncommitted players from time to time, which is fine. There's a business element to all of this. I totally get that. Ultimately, whether Nolan Smith ends up ranked number one or not, the fact that he can go to the opening and perform as well as he did there gives him the thing that I think Georgia needs the most, which is credibility on the trail with other recruits. Nolan has been as good a recruiter for UGA as any coach could ever be, and when he goes out and performs as well as he does the opening, enough to rise up to the rankings for 24/7 Sports as the number one player in the country, that just gives more pizzazz behind his words when he challenges other players to join him for the class of 2019 there for UGA. So great job by Nolan Smith, a future great pass rusher at the University of Georgia. He goes out and shows out at the opening. He's now number one according to 24/7 Sports. Sports, and we're thrilled for him here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. All right, it's time now for us to sort of check in and take a look at some of the stuff that's coming up in the days ahead. We do it every single Friday. We call it our Kroger Click List Checklist, and there are a couple things for you to keep in mind here coming up this weekend when it comes from our friends at Kroger. First of all, as a part of our Kroger Click List Checklist, don't forget Saturday at 1 p.m., that is when the Demetrius Robertson announcement goes down. DogNation.com, going to have all kinds of coverage for you on that, so make sure you check that out Saturday at 1 p.m. here on Dog Nation. You'll see the Demetrius Robertson video as soon as it's dropped. And, of course, next week, Dog Nation going to be busy as well. As SEC Media Days kicks off on Monday, we'll have all the coverage of all that. UGA then goes on Tuesday, but that's going to be a lot of fun with SEC Media Days in Atlanta next week. DogNation.com, a big part of that. Of course, all of this is our Kroger Click List Checklist. It's good to have them with us on the program each and every Friday. Of course, speaking of Kroger, they remind you to come join your local Kroger chef for a guided kids cooking experience, including an apron, a patch, a chef's hat, a recipe card, a box, and a melon baller. It's all just $7, and it's coming up on July 21st. Kroger Chef Jr. is going to be featuring a melon ball parfait. That sounds really good. How much fun is that to make that with your kids? Melon ball parfait coming up on July 21st. Just go to KrogerChefJr.com to find your closest Kroger store and reserve your spot today. It's the Kroger Click List Checklist every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad to have you with us in the program here as well. Told you Jeff Sintel on vacation today. We'll look forward to catching with him again next week. But pinch hitting for him today, what a great honor it is to have a great guest. You know him and love him from CBS Sports. He's a good friend of ours here on Dog Nation Daily. We have him every time we can get him. How about Barrett Salee right now here on Dog Nation Daily? And I'll say hello to Barrett Salee. He's a good friend, a great college football reporter working for CBS Sports, and a terrific follow on Twitter, at Barrett Salee on Twitter. He joins us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Barrett, I know you're busy this time of year. Appreciate your time. Thanks for being a part of the program today.
My pleasure, B.A. What's going on?
Not too much. Excited about SEC Media Days next week. Excited about all the things kind of going on here as the 2018 season is getting closer. And there's a lot I want to talk to you about. But if you don't mind, let me just quickly piggyback off something that I was discussing before you joined us. Tomorrow could be a big day for Georgia and its recruiting efforts. Georgia might get a former five-star wide receiver, Demetrius Robertson, transferring from Cal. He may announce UGA tomorrow. There's a couple other finalists there as well, but Georgia fans going to have their fingers crossed on this. And the point, Barrett, that I've been making all week long is what makes the Robertson recruitment, I think, important here is, as you look ahead for Georgia the next couple of years, to me this is all about, can you match Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, who've essentially created elite levels of play for all their position groups? I mean, you look at these three teams, Alabama in particular in the SEC, you really don't see much in the way of an obvious weakness. And for Georgia, who's trying to round out its roster much in the same way, wide receiver is one of those positions where it really hasn't recruited the same level that's done the other positions. If you could add a D-Rob, eligible probably in 2019, that's the kind of thing that Georgia has to do, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, obviously, because he's a state kid, too, and from down in Savannah, you know, you need to get all your guys and lock down your borders, even if it means they left your borders for a year or two. So, yeah, it's big, and especially for Georgia, because you look at their wide receiving core, you know, Godwin's, you know, up there now, and Riley Ridley's getting up there. So you need to sort of replenish it, and obviously Demetrius has had success. I mean, at Cal last year, he was really, really good. He's got a lot of upside, and you know, he has the ability to be a really good player for you for 2 years, no matter where he goes. And, yeah, I mean, it's all about building that culture of competition, too. And Kirby Smart said this countless times. You know, he doesn't want his players to be comfortable ever. Never right. Does he want his players to be comfortable. So the way you do that is you make players fight for their jobs 24/7, 365, not just when they're in camp, and camp is in session. So that's, I think, part of this. But really, the majority of going after Demetrius Robertson is the fact that he's a stud. He can be your number one core wide receiver from the get go when he's eligible. So yeah, I mean he needs to be in Georgia if you're Kirby Smart. I mean, because Kirby, he represents basically everything Kirby Smart wants to build from a roster management standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Barrett. Absolutely, you made kind of a name for yourself a year ago. You were very high on Georgia. You predicted Georgia go to the college football playoff at a time when most people, I think, had Georgia probably a little further down the trough than that. As a follow-up to that here for 2018, what do you think that Kirby Smart and the Dogs are going to be able to do?
You know, I think they're still going to be able to – it's just going to look different. I think Georgia and Alabama are really twins this year because, you know, I think it's fair to expect a drop-off defensively for Georgia. I mean, with all those linebackers gone and some bulk in the defensive line gone, it's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. That's not outlandish to say. But at the same time, with Jake Fromm having a full year as the unquestioned starter, remember, he was supposed to redshirt last year, you know, he's had time to decompress. You think he'd get better. He's certainly getting pushed by Justin Fields. You've got wide receivers now that are a year older and probably a year better. You've got one of the best offensive lines in the SEC. So, you know, whatever you suffer from a defensive drop-off standpoint, you're probably going to be able to make up for with a more explosive and a more balanced and a more dynamic offense. So I really expect more of the same. The same Georgia team you saw competing for a national championship last year, or at least in that discussion, and obviously nearly won it last year, that's the same thing I expect from Georgia. I expect them to be the SEC East champs. I expect them to go into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the SEC championship game with a playoff spot on the line, no matter who it's against. And so, you know, it just it might look different, and that's fine. As long as Kirby Smart understands that, hey, you don't have to you know, skin the cat the same way. There's different ways to do it, and I think he realizes that. I just think because you know, it's going to look different, it might be an adjustment to Georgia fans. That's all.
Let me follow up on that with this, and I think it's very fair what you say about the fact that let's take a wait-and-see approach on this defense, replacing Roquan Smith and Lorenzo Carter, Davin Bellamy, a couple guys from the secondary. That's all really fair. But a comment that I hear a lot from some of the listeners and viewers of the show that does sort of hold some weight with me is they will say, if you go back to 2016, there were a lot of media types who were saying, you know, it may not be that much better in 2017, but watch out for 2018. You know, give Kirby Smart 2 years. And then, you know, 2017 ends up being a lot better than a lot of people thought it was. And some Georgia fans feel like the goalpost has been moved all of a sudden because 2017 was better than they thought. Now 2018 somehow needs to be a bit of a step back year. This is a comment that I get a lot, and I sort of understand where they're coming from here of, you know, we did hear a lot a couple of years ago from a lot of media pundit type people who were saying, hey, let this roster sort of take shape in recruiting over the course of the next couple of years and look how good they could be in 2018. It does seem like there is at least some evolution of that opinion on the part of some media members.
Yeah, there has been. And that's, I think, mostly due to what has been already done and how much that roster has been improved upon since Kirby Smart took over. And, yeah, the goalpost has been moved. There's no doubt about that, but they should be because of what happened and the fact that Kirby Smart in 2 years took a roster that was good but underdeveloped to a point where, you know, they're one of the best rosters in the country. So, the goalpost moved. There's no doubt about it. But it got moved for the same reason it got moved at LSU when Saban got there, for the same reason it moved at Florida when Urban got there. It really got moved for the same reason Auburn's moved when Gene Chizik got there. And obviously, he was on the other side. He couldn't sustain it. But that's where Kirby Smart is. He's in the same spot as all those guys, where, you know, you've had some early success, and your biggest challenge and the biggest challenge of your career isn't becoming a national championship caliber team. It's learning how to sustain it. And that, I think, that's what's supposed to happen. And the good coaches accept that. They put their arms around it. And they try to become more complete head coaches because they've never done this before, and Kirby's never done this before. So that's all that is, and I think that's what Kirby expected this entire offseason, and really that's what Georgia fans should expect. They should think that after what happened last year, you know, this should be the new norm, especially at a place like Georgia where, you know, this should have been the case all for the last 30 years, and it just never was.
Well, along those lines, you wrote a great piece at CBSSports.com about, you know, next week the SEC Media Days will have its sort of official media predictions. And I like this data from you where you kind of compare how the teams were predicted to finish compared to how they actually did finish. And if you want to go back years ago, this was something of a problem for Georgia, picked higher than it finished a lot. I think based on your data, Georgia was one of those sort of, unfortunately, over-hyped teams that had a hard time matching its predicted finish a lot. Now, it didn't happen maybe as much as some people think it did, but it happened enough where it was at least a bit of an issue. Barrett, I don't think that's a problem for Kirby Smart and these players anymore because I think that Kirby Smart's probably a pretty good tactician about keeping things kind of, you know, within the realm of what they can control. But I do think this is an issue for fans. I think there are some Georgia fans who are sort of still worried about this sort of new era of, wow, a lot of expectations for Georgia. How are they going to match that? And I know good and well, because I hear from a lot of these people, there are a lot of non-Georgia fans who love to pepper UGA fans with the, y'all won't be able to do it 2 years in a row, y'all lost too much talent, you're overhyped, you're going to fall flat. This is more of a fan thing than an actual coach and player thing, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, because I did this for a couple of years, going back to the media predictions and figuring out, you know, who's underachieved and who's overachieved. And, you know, Georgia kind of always had that reputation that they underachieved. And really since expansion, which is, you know, now six full football seasons, they've actually met their expectation at media days right on the money four times. And the two that really brought them down were the 2013 season.
Yeah.
When they were coming off that SEC championship, they were picked to win it again. They finished third. And then Mark Richt last year, again, they were picked to finish first, and they finished third. So, you know, that's really what's brought them down. And that's really an unfair criticism, you know, of Georgia. Now, part of that is sort of remnants of the Richt era from, you know, 08 to, or 07 to, you know, 2012. But, you know, Georgia, I think by and large, and the media and the fans sort of recognize, you know, what the program should be, because even when they weren't picked to win the East, they were usually picked second or third, and that's because, you know, people recognize that, hey, you know what, they might not be great, they should be great, but they're not, they might not be great, but you always know that their floor is still really darn high, and that, I think, is kind of where Mark Richt's success was overlooked, mm-hmm. because even the great teams, like Auburn went 3-9 one year. You know, Florida went 4-7 last year. Even the really, really good programs have floors that are super, super low, and Georgia doesn't have that, which I think is really, really impressive. And so I think the fact that they have been, you know, perennially, or at least twice anyway, overhyped is really the only way it can be, because most people still expect them to be competitive every year, and they have been.
I want to finish in a moment with what I thought was a really fun piece from you the other day, but let me piggyback off that column for one more thing here. You also point out who's going to quickly become one of Georgia's biggest rivals now. Dan Mullen, when he was at Mississippi State, he was a coach that was able to sort of consistently exceed the expectation that people have for them at Mississippi State. I don't believe anyone was better than finishing ahead of their predicted record more than Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State. Is that same brand what he's going to be able to bring with him to Florida? I have some skepticism about that. I don't think he's doing very well on the recruiting trail right now, and for me that really matters. What do you think about, you know, Mullen, the overachiever at Mississippi State, coming to a place like Florida now?
Well, he was great at Mississippi. I don't think people realize how great he was. Every single year since expansion, Dan Mullen finished higher than in the West, and the media predicted him too. So I think, you know, it's different. And that's the thing that's most interesting to me about Dan Mullen at Florida is it's a much different animal than what made him successful at Mississippi State. You know, he was used to, you know, catching three stars and catching lightning in a bottle and coaching them up to play like five stars, with the exception of some stars that he recruited, like you know, Jeffrey Simmons or a Leo Lewis. We don't need to get into the other stuff, but he's still a good player.
Right.
But his you know, biggest asset, his best attribute was coaching players up. Well, that's not going to fly at Florida. That didn't fly for Jim McElwain. That didn't fly for Will Muschamp. And so he, I think, has to adjust how he operates, because it's when you recruit three-star kids and coach them up, typically, they're very coachable because they want to become five-star caliber players, even if that means in college. Recruiting five-star players is a little different because they think they're already good enough. So I think that's his biggest challenge, is to really change the way he approaches coaching from a personality standpoint, because he's going to get better prospects, but with that comes a sort of different way you have to handle those people.
So the other day at CBS Sports, you wrote about the all-time great team for every SEC program. It's a very fascinating piece because it's sort of hard to imagine that Vanderbilt has an all-time great team, but they do. Every SEC team, if you want to go back, you know, 100-plus years, they've all got at least one team that was really, really good. So from that standpoint, it's sort of a trivial curiosity and really interesting. But I have to admit, I did have a little bit of response to what you wrote about Georgia. And it's obvious, you know, you know, that you know, the 1980 team was the team that you picked as the all-time great Georgia team. And from a standpoint of, like, you know, accomplishments, you can't deny it. It's a consensus national champion. They went undefeated. They had the thrilling win against Florida. They beat Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. It had Herschel Walker. Probably should have been the Heisman Trophy winner that year. That's very difficult to argue. That's not Georgia's all-time best team. But, Barrett, what I said on the show, though, is if we had, like, a great computer program to play the sort of simulation game here, I'm not so sure the 1980 team beats last year's team. I'm talking about in a computer simulation where you have, you know, healthy players in their prime, playing against healthy players in their prime. As great as Herschel is, the 80 team did play some close games. The 2017 team for Georgia didn't play quite as many close games. And I think Herschel's tough to stop on offense, but I don't know if the overall composite talent level doesn't favor 2017 on that. If you want to play a video game here, you think 80's beating 2017?
No, I think 2017 would smoke them by two or three touchdowns. But that's not what it was about. Now,
sure.
I'm with you. I think 2017, in terms of talent, and if you played it in a video game or played it in real life at the time and place, you know, yes, Jake Fromm and Nick Chubb and Sony Michel would destroy, you know, Herschel Walker and Buck Ballou. Nothing against my friend Buck, but he's no Jake Fromm. You know, so, yeah, of course, but you do have to factor in accomplishments. You do have to factor in, you know, what titles were won, what it means to a program, you know, how much it resonates. And, you know, while 2017 will resonate for Georgia, there's no doubt, and that team was, you know, within, you know, a second or two of maybe becoming the best Georgia team of all time. I think 80 is going to be the year that everybody remembers in that Georgia fan base. I believe that 2017 for the Georgia fan base will serve the purpose of the 2008 Alabama team that went undefeated in the regular season, then lost to Florida, then lost to Utah. That was the foundation. And I think for Georgia, 2017 was the foundation. So you might have teams that are better or more memorable than 1980 in the near future under Kirby Smart. I think that Georgia will. But because Georgia missed out on winning that title, I think that's all you can consider 2017 when you factor in the overall importance and the meaning to the entire fan base and the entire program's history.
It's a fun thought to consider, Barrett. It's a great piece at CBSSports.com. I would invite everybody to check out all the stuff you're writing there at CBS Sports. Also, for the people who want to know more about the stuff you have going on, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you online?
Yeah, before I do that, shout out to 1904 Vanderbilt that gave up 4 points all season on an 18-yard drop kick. How awesome is that?
That is a great story, one of the great little add-on pieces to what you wrote there at CBS Sports. A lot of fun.
Yeah. But you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Barrett Salee. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone or your smart TV and watch CBS Sports HQ all day long, 24/7, 365, streaming sports news without the yelling. It's pretty fun.
All right, Barrett, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, CBS.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Barrett says sports news without the yelling. We like a little yelling every now and then around here. It's good to have Barrett on the program, though. Really fun stuff, really interesting stuff there from Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. As he said, you can follow him on Twitter there, at Barrett Salee. He'll be a big part of SEC Media Days next week, no doubt. And we'll look forward to having Justin Tell back on the show again next week. I know some of you on the forum at forum.dognation.com are asking, hey, where is Jeff Sintel? Y'all got to let Jeff have a little bit of vacation. Jeff's been on the beach. He's been getting tanned and rested and ready for a big run towards the 2019 class and the start of the 2018 season. Y'all got to let him recharge the batteries a little bit. But we're looking forward to having Jeff back next week here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. All right, let me talk a little bit about some of the SEC news here as a part of our SEC through. And, you know, yesterday on the program we had some fun with the Alabama video of their quarterbacks and top quarterback room in the country. That was what it's described as. And we had our issue with that in comparison to Georgia and our issue with that. And just in the simple vein of Alabama trying to spin a positive out of something that I think I sort of view as a negative right now. Two quarterbacks in Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, who I believe are eventually going to be at odds with each other a bit. And not necessarily, you know, fighting. But listen, the other guy wants to vanquish the other. I mean, that's just the way it goes down. We've had, you know, both camps speaking out on this. Seems to prove that's true. I don't think they think of themselves as some sort of dynamic duo, some sort of Batman and Robin. I think they think of themselves as opponents. But Alabama spun it the other way, and Tommy Stevens, a Penn State quarterback, sort of chimed in and said, LOL on Twitter about this. A lot of Alabama fans took great umbrage with him on that. And while I don't love the video from Alabama, I sort of get where they're coming from on the thing with the Penn State quarterback. First of all, who are you? I mean, listen, I watch college football all Saturday long, every single day. This is not a guy that I know a lot about. This is not a guy that I think necessarily has the kind of stature within this sport to, you know, be looking down on Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. I'm no Jalen Hurts fan. I've criticized him plenty. But I promise you, I'll take Jalen Hurts over this Stevens kid from Penn State, who's not even a full-time quarterback in his own right. So, kind of an interesting issue here. Another one of those sort of SEC Big Ten battles that seems to pop up from time to time. I thought overall this was pretty fascinating. Something else that I thought was kind of interesting, Auburn quarterback Jared Stidham speaking to ESPN as part of their, like, 50 voices over 50 days or something like that. It's basically a preview content piece looking ahead to the 2018 season. And one of the things that Jared Stidham spoke about when he spoke to ESPN for this piece was his desire to sort of finish the 2018 season stronger than they finished in 2017. He talked about the idea of being one quarter away from the college football playoff. It's not exactly my memory of the SEC championship game, but nonetheless, that was Jared Stidham's sort of description of all that, where Georgia sort of dominated that game in the second half to move on to the playoff. Obviously, that leaves a bad taste in his mouth. And, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, sometimes people say here on this show that, you know, listen, part of our success formula has been the fact that I tell Georgia fans what they want to hear. This is one of those examples in which I'm probably not always telling UGA fans exactly what they want to hear in regards to Auburn, because I do believe that Auburn is a formidable foe this season. And I do believe there's something semi-dangerous about Auburn avoiding all the offseason chatter that's mostly going to go towards Alabama, partially going to go towards Georgia here as an overwhelming favorite in the SEC East. Auburn gets to kind of fly below the radar in that regard. I've joked before that they're kind of like the intercontinental champion of the SEC. They're sort of the best of the rest. The main eventers like Georgia and Alabama battle it out, and Auburn's sort of like, you know, king of the leftovers. That can be a frustrating place to be if you're stuck there, but it can also be kind of an enjoyable place to be if you avoid some of the what Nick Saban has called rat poison here. I do think that Stidham's worthy of respect. Now, ultimately, I think that Georgia beats Auburn in November. I do. But I do believe that Stidham's worthy of respect. I think he is a very good quarterback. Most of the quarterbacks in the country can't match what he can do for Auburn, and I think that Auburn's going to be a pretty tough team to tussle with. I thought it was interesting from Chris Johnson at Sports Illustrated talking about one of the reasons why Dan Mullen may have some decent first-year success at Florida, a favorable schedule that works to his advantage. And the point we made yesterday in SEC Country Live is, while this is not the toughest schedule you ever see, it is a little tougher than it maybe necessarily looks, because you do have a stretch of, you know, of road games here. You got to go on the road to Tennessee. You got to play LSU, which is a home game. You got an at Vanderbilt situation here where that's been trouble for Florida before. There's a four-game stretch there heading into the bye week before you play Georgia, where it's actually not as easy as it may look for a Florida team that's going to be probably playing a lot of toss-ups here. And ultimately, that's my issue with Florida. Without a great quarterback, too many close games, too many toss-ups, a lot of those go probably the other direction, I think. And then one final SEC story to get to here for our SEC through. Bovada has put out its odds to win the divisions. Both Georgia and Alabama heavy favorites here. Bovada gives Georgia more than a 50% chance of winning the SEC East here in 2018. Alabama a similar favorite there in the SEC West. It is worth pointing out that Alabama sees, or I should say that Bovada sees, a few more reasonable contenders to Bama in the West, like Auburn. Nobody really within the realistic realm of knocking off Georgia in the SEC East. So Georgia moves into 2018, at least according to Bovada, about as big a favorite in the SEC East as it has ever been, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, a couple things I want to do here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marcos Pizza. Early in the show, I talked to you about some of the things upcoming this weekend. There is one more thing I want you to be thinking about this weekend. If you're not at Saturday morning 10 a.m., especially if you live in the Atlanta area, Saturday morning 10 a.m., make sure you're checking out Bulldogs Game Day on WSB TV Channel 2. It's sort of a great football fix for this time of year. It's coming up tomorrow at 10 a.m. on WSB TV Channel 2. Isaac Nada going to be a part of the program here this week. He's going to be talking a lot about how Georgia's passing offense sort of takes the next step here in 2018. We think they're going to be putting themselves into a sort of a more rarefied air in terms of throwing the football here in 2018. Sounds like Nada believes that too. He'll be profiled there tomorrow. They're also going to look at John Isner, who continues to have his miraculous run through Wimbledon here. I believe he may be playing today, and some of y'all are going to yell at me for not knowing, but they'll be celebrating John Isner, who has had a great run over there at the fortnight of Wimbledon. So that's all coming up tomorrow, Saturday, 10 a.m., WSB TV Channel 2 for Bulldogs Game Day. I hope you'll check that out. All right, it's also time to do our Dog Day Q&A here. We're going to have a great conversation on that. I want to bring in some of your comments on this. We talked a lot about Demetrius Roberts and the former five-star wide receiver off the top of the show today. I sort of gave you my thoughts of, I try to sidestep predictions. My predictions are often wrong. I'm not the plugged-in expert that Jeff Sintel is. I'm just simply someone who sort of listens to the chatter that's out there. My lean here is Georgia for Demetrius Roberts, and I'm curious to find out if you feel the same way. Hit me up for our Dog Day Q&A. If you're listening to the show, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. You can reach out to me, but if you're watching the show live right now on Facebook or YouTube, we'll take some of your comments coming up on this in just a moment. Your simple prediction for what you think Demetrius Robertson, the former five-star wide receiver, transferring from Cal, does when he announces his decision via video at 1 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So a lot of comments coming up on that. Let me also take care of one more piece of business. I've been talking over the last few days to a really interesting guy. His name is Steve Rogers, and Steve has a project and a passion that feels very important to him, and I think that dog fans will feel very much the same way when they hear about it. I want you to go to a website. It's called walkofheroes.org. Walkofheroes.org. What Steve is doing here is he's created a raffle that raises money to restore a terrific monument park area in Rockdale County, which is in Georgia, to honor some veterans and some great heroes that have served our country and defended our freedom. Walkofheroes.com supports that, the beautiful monument park there in Rockdale County. This is really good stuff. You can find more about that at walkofheroes.com. What you can specifically do, though, is go there to the website, and you can find out how you can, for just $10, become a part of a raffle. They're going to give away a great collection of former Bulldog greats who've autographed Georgia football helmets. This is a really cool thing. And as I say this, even more and more names are kind of getting involved on this. I know that Steve was this weekend going to be collecting more names for this. This is a really cool thing for a really great cause. Here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, one of the things that we're proudest of is the fact that a lot of people who are stationed overseas are listening or watching our show, and they take Dog Nation Daily with them when they're, you know, located all over the world. It's a great honor to be a part of that, and so therefore we feel very, very passionately about things like this. Walkofheroes.org, you can find out more about that. So hope you'll check that out for a really good cause. Let me take some of your comments now while we have a chance to, and we will talk a little bit more about Demetrius Robertson here. JY says, what did you just say? I was recording Wimbledon. I didn't want to know what happens. So I have no I don't know what the results are for John Isner, but I do know that I believe he's getting ready to play right now. So some of y'all are recording that. I hope it goes the way that you want it to there. I guess I probably should know when Isner's playing, but I told y'all yesterday, I'm not the world's biggest tennis fan. Not the world's biggest tennis fan when it comes to stuff like that. I am a big fan of Demetrius Robertson. It looks like a lot of you in the comment section seem to think that D-Rob is coming to Georgia tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. Y'all know my predictions are not always right, but Eric Smith says that he thinks that D-Rob is indeed coming to Georgia tomorrow, so that'll be kind of interesting to see if that it does indeed take place. Dedrick Frazier has kind of an interesting analogy. He says, D-Rob's like finding a $100 bill. If we get him, it's an awesome thing. If not, we weren't expecting him anyway. And I think there is a standpoint of that. It's like you really lose nothing by getting interested in this tomorrow, but you have the potential to gain a five-star receiver, which would be awful fun once he's finally eligible here at UGA. So we'll wrap up here with the way we always do in our program. First of all, thanks for being a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And, you know, we on this show are believers that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater, first and foremost. We love the idea of Georgia fans getting behind the notion that the Dogs got to beat those lousy, stinking Gators each and every year. And 106 days from right now, it's going to happen again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I'll also remind you one more time, I mentioned this during our SEC through, but it's probably worth bringing up one more time, that Jeff Sintel back from his vacation. I think he's coming back today, I think. I think he is going to be a part of our Dog Nation coverage tomorrow of the Demetrius Robertson announcement. I'm getting a thumbs up on that. Jeff will be back around for that. So DogNation.com, the place to be tomorrow. A lot of stuff on D-Rob when his announcement goes down. We'll show you the video. We'll have the analysis. We'll do it all for you. And then we'll see you back here on Monday, 10 a.m. live again for another episode of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.